Petri Dish is a product of Petri Dish Media, all rights reserved. Petri Dish is a science comedy podcast and should not be used as medical advice. Do not get medical advice from a podcast.
And therefore, as a free man, I take pride in the words, Ich bin ein...
Science! Science! Yes.
I know the human being and
science
can coexist peacefully.
This was our finest.
Guys, welcome to Petri Dish. I'm Nathan.
And I'm Sean.
A question that has bedeviled some of us.
Oh.
For a very long time is the question, what is death?
Yeah.
One part philosophy, one part science. So guys, this episode is going to start a two-parter on death. We're going to talk about it scientifically,
yep.
Right? Kind of a detour for us. Okay, we're not going to talk about its philosophical or religious implications.
Right.
Because really, there's none. People have been overthinking it.
Dead's dead.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I think actually there is a little bit of a question. Even at this point, modern medical science has come to the point where people can be resuscitated, right?
Right.
And so when do doctors decide to call someone as dead?
Well, right? Well, it's very racially motivated, isn't it?
Oh, God. Wow, you're coming in hot already, right? So a lot of those interesting questions about, like, what is that fine line between alive and dead and everything. So in episode 2, we're going to wax a little bit more philosophical about, you know, that fine line between alive and dead. What makes death permanent? At what point is it irreversible? All of that kind of things, right? In this episode, we're going to lead in with sort of an interesting experiment that was done. That was published in 2019, and then a follow-up that was published in 2022.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about in the next episode as well. So this episode, we're keeping it to just the pig
keeping
heads.
It tight.
To pig brains!
Right. This is a good reason for why you don't want to be at Yale after hours. Okay, people disappear.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, let's get into it.
Okay, so that study was published by Yale in 2019, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yale, it's a famously spooky town.
Yeah. New Haven, Connecticut.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like we're one of those like very atmospheric and intensely boring video games is set.
You know, New Haven does sound like that. It's like a BioShock game.
You like walk through, well, BioShock was fun. I'm talking like the one where it's like hard rain. You like walk through mist for like 4 hours.
Okay, yeah. You know?
sure. But anyway. So we had a team of researchers at Yale.
Mm-hmm.
Brain X. They published something on Brain X. What's that all about?
Yeah. So the study starts out by noting that human brains and the brains of many other mammals are really energy hungry organs, and they require kind of a constant supply of oxygen.
This is why you can burn calories by thinking on math hard.
That is true. Yes. Yeah. Yes, that is actually true.
Yeah, that's interesting, right? So why do people even bother with treadmills when they just, like, Sudoku their weight?
Too stupid.
Yeah.
They're too stupid. Human brains will run out of their oxygen stores and shut down shop within seconds of interrupted blood flow. And then they will run out of glucose and ATP supplies within minutes, okay? So unless you get that blood flowing again, the cells in the brain will experience a number of issues. The neurons work by constantly maintaining and controlling their membrane polarization, the charge between the outside of the cell and the inside
you
of the cell.
You need around an equal amount of Republicans and Democrats in your brain.
You need that polarization.
Right.
Okay? Without that polarization, it's boring.
It just makes moderate and prudent, pragmatic legislation in the mind. Like, your brain wants to be like Joe Manchin. That's the best brain. Joe Manchin's brain is the best brain.
That's the dead brain.
Because
when you're dead, you're like Joe Manchin or Kristen Sinema.
See, that's. I feel like there's a QAnon thing you actually just said.
Basically, you know, you need that polarization in the membrane so that you can get those electrical signals so that the neurons can do, like, pretty much anything. Right. Without fresh oxygen and glucose, your neurons can't maintain their membrane polarization and will eventually die. In a dish, we've seen neural cells die within minutes.
Right.
Okay. But We've also seen people take slices of brains that have been dead for hours, toss them in a petri dish with glucose and oxygen, and be able to get functional electrical readings from some of the neurons.
That's okay? Pretty cool.
And there have been mitochondrial readings from cells 10 hours after, you know, quote-unquote, death.
Right.
Okay? And there's also this study from 1974 where they took some monkeys, cut off the blood supply to their brains for, like, an hour, and then restored blood supply, and, like, half the monkeys survived for, like, 90 minutes or something.
Yeah, that sounds like a sort of thing that you don't want to find photos of that study.
1974, I mean, science was wild, man. That's, science was doing all kinds of Watergate. Naughty shit. That was some dangerous
74
shit.
Is when Nixon left.
Oh, and that's why they did the monkey study.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He sanctioned it personally. It's on a tape.
Those are somehow related.
He's like, cut the monkeys open. He's like, let me slip their innards. Do what you want with the brains.
So all of this is to say that there's actually an open question as to how long a brain can go without fresh blood, right? Because definitely in terms of function and in terms of like our consciousness,
right,
we cannot go for more than a few seconds without fresh blood.
Right.
But in terms of being alive or dead,
right,
it does seem like there's maybe something a little bit more complicated going on. Perhaps that line is a little bit more blurry and maybe there's more time than we thought.
Right. This is where a lot of us just kind of wake up and go back to work. But this is where Yale scientists, this is where they get pigs.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And so to dive into that question, Yale scientists went to a slaughterhouse. Okay.
So, New Haven Slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
That's a location in Left 4 Dead 3.
So basically they went over to the slaughterhouse and were like, hey, are there pig brains you guys don't want? And the folks at the slaughterhouse were like, fuck yeah, we got like 300 brains.
Yeah, and they were holding out still.
Have the brains.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they kept
probably
some of
more
them.
Pig brains.
They kept some of the brains for themselves.
For Christmas.
Yeah. And so the study began. These pigs from the slaughterhouse were killed the normal way that pigs at a USDA slaughterhouse are killed, which is to say they were stunned by an electrical shock, and then they were exsanguinated to kill them.
Mm.
That means that they were bled out.
I told you about the Jewish man in the pig house, right?
What?
All right, so this is related, I promise. But, you know, there's this guy I knew from school who's Ashkenazi, and he goes to China because he studied Chinese and is going to work there. And he found,
Yeah. But keep going.
Well, he found this really good paying job that just said, need Jew. And he's like, well. So he goes to this warehouse district.
That's a trap, dude.
And there's this Chinese guy that he meets. So the Chinese guy's like, so you're Jewish? And this, you know, the dude I know is like, yeah, sure, I'm Jewish. And he's like, here, put this on. He gives him rabbi clothes. The guy's like, all right. He puts on the rabbi clothes, he goes inside the warehouse, and there's just a bunch of exsanguinated, slaughtered pigs.
Great.
And the Jewish guy, or the Chinese guy's like, I need you to kosher these for me. I need you to bless them. You know? And so he blesses them. He's never done it before because he's not a rabbi, so he just goes up and kind of like does the cross of Mary, you know? And it's like, I bless you. Right, so he blesses all these pigs.
That's great.
Chinese guy's like, awesome, now I've got a bunch of kosher pigs.
Yeah,
and
so
he's
good.
Like, are you Muslim? Can you do halal for me? And at that point, you know, he's like, no, unfortunately not. I don't know how to do halal. He's like, fuck. Yeah, put an advert for fine Muslim.
It's weird that your friend had scruples about some of those concepts and not others.
I didn't say friend. Guy I knew from college. Yeah,
all right, that's great. That's great.
All right, anyway. So we're going to kill pigs the proper way. We're going to stun them, and then we're going to exsanguinate them.
Yeah, so we bleed them out.
Very brutal.
And then their heads were removed. And the carotid arteries, which are the arteries that supply fresh blood to your brain, they were secured with these little attachments that make it so that they can be hooked up to, like, plastic tubing. And this part of the process took about 10 minutes. So the brains were deprived of oxygen at room temperature for about that long before the heads were flushed with salt water with saline solution to remove any leftover blood. And then the head was put on ice and taken over to the lab. And then the brain was taken out of the skull. And all in all, that took about another hour. And then they waited about 3 hours before starting up the BrainX process, okay? And the reason for doing this is they really wanted the brains to be, like, dead as fuck before trying to bring them back to life.
Right.
Like, they wanted to put in kind of a difficult scenario to challenge their system, this BrainX system.
You know what I hate about these guys?
What?
I hate how they called it BrainX because they so clearly were thinking about venture capital.
Yeah.
Like, they were clearly, like, you know that there's some rich dead people or old people who are going to, like, be on this. And so they named it BrainX because it was, like, popping.
Yeah, they understand branding at Yale. They get it.
God, yeah. I mean, isn't that such? It's like so true, dude. So those Ivy Leagues are just like such scam artists.
It is definitely. Ugh. I mean, you know, a lot of those schools have very, very strong IP departments.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that this is a patented situation, and they have a patented formula for all the stuff. And that, yeah, I would imagine that.
We should just tear down the schools brick by brick, man.
Whoa.
You know what I mean? Like.
But the Ivy League. think about it.
It's just like, you think about how much it costs, right? And how inflated the salaries are for like their administrators. And you're like, all of it's fed by the name recognition.
Yeah, sure.
It's all fed by its brand, man.
Yeah, but it's just a bunch of rich people paying for it. That's okay.
Anyway,
poor people get to go for free if they get in.
That's true. That's true.
That's nice.
Like that J.D. Vance guy.
Oh.
Yeah, hillbilly elegy.
Tear it down. All right,
Stacey, your discretion to cut all that or not?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway.
That's up to you. Let's take a break. Let's take a break.
Oh.
When we come back from the break, let's go into what this BrainX process actually is.
Okay.
Because they hook the brains up to it. And they do something.
Right.
And let's find out what that something is.
The following is an actual advertisement.
Hey there, friends. It's Tess.
And it's John from the podcast The Micro Moment.
We're a wicked nerdy duo with 5 degrees of microbiology between us. And in our show, we discuss things like murder, superheroes, and aliens.
Well, of the microbial world, that is, such as pathogens, symbionts, microbiologists, and extremophiles.
So if you like to get culture on your gut culture and discover your micro moment, then join us every other Tuesday
on the Micro Moment with Microbigals.
See you there.
So you remember that clip I showed you of a woman named Philomena Kunk? She's like a character invented by a British comedian. And she does like fake.
Yes, yes.
So
yes,
she released a series. It might be on Netflix, although Netflix UK. But also, it's just on YouTube. She did Kunk on Earth.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty funny, man. There's this one point where she's talking to a philosopher. You know, it's like a Cambridge or Bristol guy. You know, yeah, he's a fancy guy.
Yeah.
And he has like an incredibly posh accent, right? And she's like, so, you know, like the. You know, like the pipes in the brain. Is it better to just have little thoughts that can go through the pipes easy? Or is it better to have like a really big thought that you know, cause we can't get through the pipe? You have one big thought. And he's like, well, I wasn't aware that. I don't believe the brain is a series of pipes. She's like, no, it is though. And he's like, I suppose maybe. Maybe the big thought then, you know, and she's like, I can't remember what she said, but she said something that was so boneheaded. And then he was like, he's so desperate to make it work. He's like, you know, actually what you just said does refer back to the dichotomy between analytical philosophy and a more synthetic philosophy. So actually what you said is quite profound. She's like, really? He's like, yes, it was profound.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of her stuff, I find people like really, really trying hard. Really trying hard to make what she's saying work.
So hard, dude.
It's tough.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's tough. Okay, okay. So guys, we're back.
Yep.
So we have these dead pig brains in Yale, and we've spent hours to really make sure that they're dead.
Yeah.
We've washed them of all the blood and everything.
It's been like 4 hours.
Yeah. We got 2 diagrams in the notes. They're intensely complicated looking.
Yeah.
What do we do now?
Yeah, so they have these tubes hooked up to the carotid arteries, which are the arteries that feed blood into the brain. And then they basically have some tubes that are hooked up to the veins coming out of the brain. So that's just generally how your circulatory system works.
Right.
Arteries carry fresh blood in, oxygenated blood, and the veins kind of carry it out, right? Mm. So they have tubes hooked up to those two sets. And then they pump liquid through. And either they use a special blend of stuff that they thought would help the brain kind of maintain its structure and everything, or they used a control liquid, a liquid that they figured would not really help. Basically salt water,
right.
Saline with some antibiotics mixed in it. So they ran both of these two liquids through brains for 6 hours before stopping the experiment.
That's cool.
As another control for the experiment, they also kept some of the brains just like in the pig skulls without hooking them up to anything. Just to see, like, what happens if you leave brains in a pig skull for, like, 10 hours.
God, I hate Yale.
Guess what? They turn into mush, but whatever. We'll get into that a little bit later. And so so then what is this good juice, this Brain X perfusion liquid that they used? It's a special...
Sounds like something Elizabeth Holmes drinks.
It's a special blend of sugar water, antibiotics, a pan-caspase inhibitor, a nitrone-free radical spin trap, anti-seizure medication, a compound that stabilizes membrane polarization, and Hemopure.
What's Hemopure?
Hemopure is basically cow hemoglobin.
Oh, okay.
Globin. Hemoglobin. So it's basically reconstituted protein and iron that's able to carry oxygen really well.
Okay.
And it's a way of being able to transport oxygen in a liquid without having red blood cells around. So they say purposefully there's no red blood cells in this. This is like mostly a synthetic mix of stuff. So there's no cells that they're flowing through.
Wow. This is like such a vision of a terrifying future. Anyway, yeah, as your notes say, this is so many good juices.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun stuff. Caspase inhibitors, for example. Caspase is a protein that gets activated in your cells as your cells are starting to die. And it's an important protein for chopping up a bunch of the other proteins inside the cell.
Yeah.
And so pan-caspase inhibitor is one that's supposed to go in and stop all of the caspases from working. So it just like literally prevents the cells from killing themselves.
Mm.
And so it's a lot of fun stuff. They pumped these pig brains full of it. Okay, circulated the liquid around for 6 hours, and they kept gradually increasing the temperatures because the brains were on ice at first, right? But then they brought the temperature up back to 37 degrees Celsius, or body temperature. And they're using filtration and exchange solutions to keep the liquid oxygenated and filled with glucose and everything like that.
Hmm.
And I guess the big question is, did it work? So, let's put it this way. Using salt water in the perfusion liquid definitely did not work. All right, just pumping salt water through the brains did not help.
I can imagine.
And keeping the brains in skulls for 10 hours also did not help the brains come back to life. I think you could also imagine that.
Yeah.
When you just use regular
saline... You probably would have figured that one out by now.
I know, yeah.
Someone in ancient Greece.
Well, I mean, to be fair to the researchers, just to be clear, the reason why they did that, they knew that obviously those brains would not turn out well.
Yeah.
But they wanted to be able to compare that to their Brain X ones and see,
it's
like...
good science.
What specifically changed, right?
Yeah.
So when you use the regular saline pumped through the brain, they found that the intracranial pressure increased over time. And that was clearly because the microvasculature of the brain was collapsing.
Right.
But what do I mean by that? Basically, the blood vessels in your brain go from being arteries into these smaller and smaller tubes, right? Until they basically become microcapillary beds. And these are just like really, really tiny structures that are carrying the blood through. And then those come back together into veins that exit your brain, okay? If the microcapillaries get clogged up or collapse, then the blood isn't going to be able to go through that area anymore. It's like a local street getting shut down.
Yeah.
And if it's just one or two, you can like reroute traffic.
My highway on-ramp has been getting shut down like every other day for construction.
Oh, that's not good. I need to get the fuck out of here.
Shocking how much worse it is. I'm sure you'll be fine today.
Okay. Okay. They better not. They better not. You know, if one or two local streets are shut down, you can like reroute, right? You can get on a different local street. But if all of the local streets are shut down, then you are fucked. There's just no way to get from point A to point B very well. And if you're pumping saline into the brain, a dead brain, that is basically what happens eventually, is all of the microcapillaries shut down. And the reason why they did this whole setup for 6 hours is because 6 hours was as long as they could do it before the saline just would not be forced into the brain anymore.
Mm.
That's not the case for the Brain X solution. For the Brain X solution, even after 6 hours, it was flowing just fine through the microcapillaries. They stayed nice and open.
Okay.
So basically that vasculature structure of the brain, the blood flow and everything, seems to remain intact when you use this Brain X solution.
All right.
But not when you just flow through some other liquid like saline. And that's good because at the very least you need to keep the streets working if you want the pig brains to come back to life. Like that's like a bare minimum you
Step
need to
one.
Be able to deliver shit. Right. Yeah. But what about the actual structures in the brain? Like the medulla oblongata.
Yeah, sure.
Or other kind of things in the brain, right? Yeah. Other kinds of structures. So they took a look at those. And the brains that were left in skulls, all of those structures are basically turning to mush after 10 hours.
Right.
Right? They're getting dehydrated. The brain structure is melting together. They're decomposing. It's pretty gross.
Yeah.
The brains that were perfused in... What's up?
You gotta be pretty gross to be gross after you've exsanguinated a pig from a slaughterhouse, huh? And then taking its skull and hooked it to a saline.
They did a lot of things. They did a lot of things. The paper was very, very careful to say, like, like, we didn't kill any extra pigs.
Yeah.
These were pigs that were being slaughtered for meat.
Yeah.
And these were just bonus brains.
Yeah.
We were using bonus brains.
Well, and I think we all know that there was another control sample where they're just like, and then these are pig brains and cum. And then and they had to take Sam aside and be like, hey, look, buddy, I'm sorry, but we're cutting your part of the paper. He's like, I made sure I ate pineapple for 4 weeks so my cum tastes the same.
Congrats, you made it grosser. Yeah, that's good job.
And they're like, I'm sorry, Sam, but, you know, the libcocks, they're going to come after us. The vegans.
The brain.
Greta Thunberg.
I would not put it past, like, a Greek house at Yale to, like, volunteer for that experiment.
Wouldn't that be such a funny way to ruin your brain egg study? It's like, the Greek house has got it, and they f***ed all the pig heads.
God damn it. Oh, God. That is terrible.
Damn rush week.
So, the brains that were perfused with saline.
We gotta get there on the new dead pigs. They've all been f***ed. They've all been f***ed by the Greek houses. Honestly,
that could have happened. They would leave that out of the paper.
We were gonna publish in 2016.
Set back medical science 3 years. These fucking kids.
All right.
So, brains that were perfused with saline kept more of their structure, okay? So it's not like the brains that were just left in the skulls.
Yeah.
Putting any kind of liquid through did help maintain some of the structures.
That's
okay?
Cool.
But a lot of the bigger spaces within the brain were kind of filled up with liquid. They were swelling, okay? Edema. And that was probably from blood vessels getting popped from the increasing pressure. Like, as more of those local streets were getting shut down, some of the other blood vessels were basically getting clogged up or were getting kind of overfilled and were bursting. Okay? So, there were definitely some structural problems.
Okay. But not the brain X brains.
The brain X brains were nice and healthy looking. The brain structures looked pretty intact and in some cases were indistinguishable from scans of live pig brains.
Quick question.
Yeah.
If, like, we replaced blood in a living person with this brain X solution,
yeah,
would they be, like, better?
Oh. No. No, I don't think so.
No, would it be the same or would it be worse?
than being normal, you mean?
Yeah,
than
I don't know.
Just having regular blood?
I mean, it almost on some level sounds to me like they're selling a brain X solution.
It would be worse, and there's a few reasons why that I think will become clear as we move it.
Yeah.
So, the neurons of the brains in a skull that were just hanging out were basically dissolving into nothingness, right? The saline neurons, like when you look at the actual cells, they were around and like intact, but they were dying. They were going through apoptosis. Brain X neurons were looking pretty nice, and they were able to signal action potentials.
Right.
So there's these membrane clamps, basically,
right,
where you can attach onto the either end of a neuron, and they could actually send signals through the neurons.
That's cool. So they were electrically... So they re-achieved consciousness.
Well...
Did the pig talk? Was it like, I'm back!
So...
Heaven's crazy!
Brain X did do a reasonably good job...
For days!
They did a good job of keeping the brains in much better shape than if they were left alone, right. But to what end?
Right.
And that's a good question, because the goal of the study was not to restart a brain.
Lame.
Okay. And in fact, a fully revived and functional brain probably would have been a huge problem, and they probably would have ended the study.
This is where we run into the classic Democrat problem of ethics.
Yeah.
Right?
So,
we'd have like a living pig, and then, oopsie,
yeah,
the pig
well,
brain's probably unhappy.
Yeah, they were very worried that if they did fully revive a pig brain, that pig brain would be freaked the fuck out.
This is Yale. Their legal department was worried.
You're very mad at Yale.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know why.
Why are you so mad?
It's funny, right? Because I do hate saying Yale.
Okay.
There's something about the word Yale that's like uniquely pretentious to me, as opposed to like Cornell or Columbia or not Harvard or...
Princeton?
Yeah. I don't know. And it's funny, right? Because Princeton is called Princeton, right? But for some reason... There's something about Yale. It's like, I think what bothers me is that it's four letters and yet sounds like it's a multisyllabic word. Yeah. You know, it's like, I hate you.
Yeah, what I don't like about the word Yale is there's not enough stuff breaking up the word.
Yeah.
Because it just like all blends together, right? There's nothing with any kind of oomph to it.
All right. Anyway, okay, so they've kept a brain functional, but not working too well, because you don't want to bring the pig soul back.
Yeah, well, so there's a little bit of a question of why didn't the pig brain wake up, right?
How do they know it didn't wake up if there's like a little bit of function happening?
Yeah, so consciousness ends up lighting your brain in certain kinds of ways.
Okay, they didn't see that.
And they did not see what would have been organized signaling across the brain. They just found that neurons could signal if they, like, sent it the appropriate electrical signals.
But they, I mean, they didn't want the brain to be fully awake, and they actually put stuff in their solution to make sure that didn't happen.
Well, so what they did was they put in these inhibitor compounds that the main reason why they put them in was because those inhibitor compounds also tend to be neuroprotective. They tend to protect neurons from damage.
Okay.
And so that's the reason why, is they were trying to shove in as many things into their liquid that they thought would keep the brain from dying, right? It just so happens that a lot of those also dampen signaling.
Yeah.
And so it's possible that that's one reason why the brain didn't wake up, is because it's being inhibited.
Yeah.
Okay.
Either that or something, you know where I'm going. Metaphysical.
Wow.
Maybe that last bit of consciousness is the soul. The angels share.
Yeah, well,
it's gone to heaven.
It is.
Or hell. It was a bad pig.
It is theoretically possible that you could maintain all of the structures and health of a brain and still not be able to get any signaling out of it.
Right.
That's possible.
Would science finally be over if we got to that point? Would it finally be done? Would it be like, well, we could all just go back to reading the Bible?
That was the final frontier?
Well. I mean, in the defense of other types of science, you wouldn't know that until you reach that point. But then you could call up all the departments. You could save a lot of money, right? You call up all the departments and be like, hey, drop fusion. You know, there is a soul. Right?
We should just pray. I see what you're saying. No, I don't think that would be evidence of a soul. I think it would just be that we don't know, like, the ignition sequence to, like, launch things back up.
I think it's the soul. I think it's God.
No.
Well, I mean, here's my bigger question to you, I guess. Like,
yeah.
With the pig, if you're dead that long, and then you revive a brain, do you think that it would even be the same pig? Like, kind of like a ship of Theseus problem. Would it even have the identity of the last pig? Or would it be, like, rewiping a brain? Or rewiping a hard drive? Like, is there something about, like, being dead for that long where, I don't know, like what even is the identity of a person?
Yeah, this is really fun. This is fun, interesting question.
Okay.
Well, so when people suffer traumatic brain injury, do they remain the same person?
Well, I guess on some level, my question, if the brain is fully dead for that long, does that change that equation? Because with the serious brain injury thing, I mean, don't they usually have some sort of continuity of selfhood? Like, even that famous guy had a rod through his head,
Phineas
and, like,
Gage
became a lot crazier afterwards for fair reasons, I think.
Yeah.
That's like, whenever he did something crazy, people were like, well, fair on him, you know? He had a rod through the brain. Like, he has still had some continuity of his own self-recognition, right? He was like, I'm still Phineas, the crazy guy.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't used to be Phineas the crazy guy. He's like, no, I've always been a crazy guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, I'm curious if you did this to a person, if the person upon waking up would even be like, oh, yeah, I'm still Sean, or if, like, it's basically a new brain.
Yeah, so we don't, I think, totally know. There's a couple of reasons why I would think that it would be okay and that the person would still be themselves.
On some level, I think it'd be better if it's just wiped, I guess.
Well, so I think one reason why it would be the same person is that a lot of things like memory and stuff that we've learned and things like that are actually
physical structures.
Physical structures. They're actual certain neurons interacting with each other.
They become hard drive.
Yeah, and so
this is why brains are still better than computers, is a brain can actually shape itself so it can physically constitute its information in a way that a computer still basically can't.
Yeah, it's not just magnets.
Yeah.
And this is, I think, something that people do not know or think about the brain, which is that every time you learn something new, it is actually a physical structural difference in your brain when you learn it. Like, your brain physically changes its shape to have that information in
it. Well, I think that's because it's still really hard to think of a brain or think of your mind as a physical entity rather than as a soul or as a metaphysical thing.
Yeah. So if BrainX got good enough such that it maintained that level of structural integrity, right? That, like, individual neurons stay pretty much in their same spot.
Right.
Then I think that the person would come back, you know, more or less the same.
We're talking about some really dark shit if it changed just a little bit. Because it'd be like fucking
a Christopher Nolan film. It would be like Memento. You'd like kind of remember some things and kind of remember other things. Probably very discombobulating.
Yeah, although that is kind of how I live my life already.
Yeah, sure, sure, sure. It's like just a lot wake of up with a tattoo that says like lab work.
Yeah. I largely cannot remember things from like a month ago. So like, you know, whatever. That's just life, I think.
That's cool. But that's just another great example of why we need a stable China that has a prominent academic sphere without too much corruption. Because clearly there should be a place where you could do the study on humans. Right? And we don't want to be that. Right? Like, I think we're on the same page that we don't want to be the ones who study humans, but low-key, clearly, someone should. And that should be China.
That's great. It totally would be China, because they have totally done stuff that would not have passed an ethical board in the U.S. So, this is all very interesting, but it is, like, very focused on the brain. I think that's because, consciousness, a sense of self, those are things that are very closely associated with the idea of death.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons why there was this big focus in the Yale group on trying to get the brain done first.
Yeah.
But when you die, there is the, like, literal entire fucking rest of your body, right?
Right.
Like, if someone were in a surgical room and they were dying or something like that, I don't think that the way that they would want to be saved is for their heads to be cut off, their brains to be taken out of their skull, and then their brains to be revived. That's like some Futurama-y kind of stuff, right? Like, I don't think people, like, really want that. I think what they would prefer...
It's probably the inspiration of this whole Brain X thing, isn't it?
Maybe. I think what they would prefer is that a lot like what we already do when people flatline or something like that, right? There's paddles you take out. You shock them to try to reestablish a rhythm in the heart.
You'd like to keep the whole body.
Yeah. And so that's actually something we're going to be talking about next episode, which is that this Yale group did not stop.
Yeah.
They went on. And in 2022, they published a paper where it's not just Brain X anymore. Now it's like the whole Body X.
Body X?
I don't remember what it's called.
Are these guys like actually just owned by Elon Musk? Because this whole thing really whiffs of Elon.
I looked through to check to make sure that all the authors actually were affiliated with Yale and not some like biotech company or something.
Because the whole thing sounds so much like I don't know. This sounds like a lot of Glass Onion-y kind of shit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm getting strong Rain Johnson vibes off of this.
Yeah, but
did you see that yet? By the way,
No.
It was funny because Andre and I were talking about it. I haven't seen it yet, but Andre saw it and he's like, "Yeah, it was pretty good. It was really cheesy though." And we're talking about how that's just like the nature of a whodunit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, at the end of the day, murders aren't usually like that.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. There's something a little contrived about those situations.
Well, and it's funny because that's actually kind of what holds me back from the genre, is that like it's just like it's a very specific appeal.
Yeah.
And I'm not a puzzle guy anyway, and so like. And Knives Out, I thought was a very technically well-done movie, and it was fun. Like, I enjoyed it. But it was also kind of like, I was like, oh, yeah, it's Chris Evans, right?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
It was like, he has a scene alone with the main girl, like, in the midpoint. Ah, he did it. You know, like...
Yeah, well, you know. I do think that whodunits are just as much a, like, specific genre as musicals are.
Totally.
Which is to say, like, if you don't like musicals, you don't like musicals.
Totally agree. It's like, it's exactly like that. It's Always Sunny or something. I've noticed that. I've noticed people who don't like true. It's Always
yes.
Sunny.
So some people really don't like
almost it. Almost don't like you for liking It's Almost Sunny.
Oh, yeah.
And definitely vice versa. When you meet someone who doesn't like It's Always Sunny, you're like, well, this is a person I just can't get along with.
See, I don't go the other way. For people who don't like It's Always Sunny, I'm like, you know what? There's lots of different kinds of taste out there.
Yeah.
But once they know I like It's Always Sunny, they're like, you're a trash person.
Garbage
for liking It's Always Sunny.
They're like, oh, you like people being in pain and you like suffering. You're like, I don't like suffering. Yeah. It's a scripted show.
Yeah, that would be if I like Nathan Fielder or whatever.
That shit's good, dude.
Yeah. That's when you like suffering.
Did you end up seeing the rehearsal?
Yeah.
Oh my god,
that's liking
did
suffering.
Did you finish it?
Yeah.
Oh my god, dude, that end.
Yep.
As the like he's like you're like
oh man.
Okay anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, spoiler alert. We're going to beep out that whole part in case you haven't seen the rehearsal.
They got to do this to his brain. That's like the final season of the rehearsal.
We got to give him the good juice.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So, wow. Well, that's really crazy. This is very dystopic. Don't you feel like? Don't you feel like if they figure this out, we're going to just be like doing weird stuff to people's brains and bringing them back and shit?
Oh, there
Isn't
was.
Death vital to society?
Huh. I don't know. Do you feel the same way about when people take the paddles to people and when they're having a heart attack or something?
The shield.
I'm just saying,
fair
like,
fair point.
So, like, I think that there's a certain kind of medical science where it's all about shifting the goalposts on what we call dead.
Right.
Right. And I think that we've done that. And in fact, in the next episode, we're going to talk about a history of what we think death is.
Well, that's cool.
And you will find that we have changed definitions of death multiple times, even within the past, like, half century.
Right.
We've changed what it means to be dead.
Yeah. And another very racially motivated thing.
God damn it.
Back in the 50s, a white guy looking around, still living in the city, would be like, I'm dead. I'm dead inside. I need to move to a suburb so I can be alive.
There we go. There we go. That's great. All right, folks.
And that was the medical definition.
Yes.
If you're a white person, being dead is still living in the city.
Yep. That's what it was in med school, guys.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Are we going to say our outro thing? We didn't do it last time. Do we know how to do it still?
I'm trying to remember. Yeah.
Let's say thank you to Stacy Song, our sound lord and engineer.
Thank you, Stacy.
Yeah, thank you, Stacy. Oh, you're so cool, Stacy.
Yeah,
you're
getting it.
Oh.
Here doesn't listen to this.
And then look, we got a Twitter account technically at Dish Podcast, but Twitter is dead. It's dead. Everywhere.
Yeah, we're not really using much Twitter, are we?
Yeah. So maybe we'll figure out some other social media to get
or
up on.
Or we should buy a blue check mark and really go all in now.
See, I don't know.
Right? When the stock's low.
I don't even know if our listeners are still on Twitter.
Yeah,
you know
I mean, I'm not on Twitter. I've never been on Twitter.
I try not to be on Twitter very often because it's kind of a cesspool now.
Yeah.
As is Twitter HQ. You hear about this with the janitors? No. The janitors went on strike.
Oh, my God.
And then Elon fired all of them.
Oh, my God.
And then there's just been no one doing anything about the trash in Twitter HQ.
Oh, my God.
And so, like...
And the toilets, presumably, right?
Yeah, so employees have been bringing in their own toilet paper.
Oh, my God.
And trash cans have been overflowing, and it just smells of trash and BO all over the building.
Wow.
And it's just, like, unclean, filthy Twitter HQ.
Hey, can I say something really controversial? Okay. I'm going to do it.
Okay.
This is just another white Afrikaner turning everywhere into South Africa apartheid.
Oh, my God.
Like, seriously. He's, like, finding this land that has its own culture, and he's like, I'm going to rape and pillage it and turn it into a racist shithole.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is a little controversial, but it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's fun to hate on Elon now.
I don't fully believe it. Let me just say that. Like, I actually asked forgiveness, twist, from the Afrikaner people.
Wow.
Because, you know, plenty of them actually didn't like apartheid, you know? I'm not like, I don't want to paint people in broad strokes. I mean, a lot of them did.
That's true. That's
I don't really
true.
Liked apartheid.
Yes. Nathan wants to be more specifically mean to Elon Musk.
Yeah. You know what? Hey, look. Elon is right about some things. Like those divers. Remember that time? He's right about that.
Oh my God.
No, just kidding. Yeah, he really has got off the reservation, hasn't he?
He's dumb. Yeah. He's a dumb bitch.
Well, it just goes to show you, it's that classic Socratic problem, right? You're good at one thing and you think you're good at everything.
What's the thing he's good at?
I don't know. Like he sold PayPal at the good time, right?
Great.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, he invested in some cool stuff. I mean, we know a lot of people who drive Teslas. Like,
I think
in the history of the automobile, like, Tesla, it constitutes an important chapter, probably, even if it collapses.
I think he's slightly luckier South African Trump.
I mean, Trump was very cunning about the real estate market.
Yeah, and I own a Trump tie.
Really?
Yeah, it's pink. All right. Let's get out of here.
When'd you get it?
I don't know. It's not going to lock down and come
back. You need to get in 2016 to celebrate?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Sean's on the street being McDonald.
It's got MAGA and Sharpie on the back. All right, everyone. All right. Look, we're going to be back next time. We're going to talk more death stuff.
Yeah. Probably more Elon with the way things are going.
That's crazy.
Didn't even mean to. We went a whole pod not talking about it.
Yeah, he just popped in there at the end.
Ah, what do you got? As he oft does with any subject, huh?
Yeah, and then he ends it.
You think there's nothing to do with him, and then all of a sudden Ukraine. He's like, well, what about my thing in Ukraine?
Yeah.
You're like, what do you mean your
he
thing
He has
in
a
Ukraine?
Way of slipping in there.
Yeah. Tricky dick.
All right. All right, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye. Da-da-da-da-da-da.